A new audio recording was recently leaked to the public wherein President Trump threatened to bomb Russia if it invaded Ukraine, and then in a similar way warned China that he would bomb Beijing if they invaded Taiwan. Let's listen to the audio recording together. And before we do, just for context, I will quickly mention that this particular recording was made at a fundraiser in the year 2024, while President Trump was campaigning for a second term. And what he's describing in this recording are conversations that he allegedly had on separate occasions, one with President Putin of Russia and then the other with Xi Jinping of China. And so with that context, smash those like and subscribe buttons and let's take a listen.
And Putin, I said, if you go in to Ukraine, we're going to bomb this shit out of Moscow. I'm telling you, I have no choice to bomb the ones, to bomb the public. So he goes like, I don't believe you. I said, he said, no way, and I said, wait. And then he goes, like, I don't believe you. But the truth is, he believed me 10%. And I told him, he believed me 10%. Then I'm with President Xi of China, but I said the same thing to them. I said, you know, if you go into Taiwan, I'm going to bomb the shit out of Beijing. He thought I was crazy. He said, Beijing, you stay there and bomb me. I said, I have no choice. I said, I'm going to bomb me. And he didn't believe me either, except 10%. And 10% is all you need. In fact, 5% worked in OK, too. And we never had a problem. We would have never had a problem.
Now, obviously, President Trump was not in office during the Russian invasion of Ukraine in 2022. And so we'll never know what he would have actually done in that scenario. But Taiwan is still out there. And whether you believe that President Trump would actually bomb Beijing if Taiwan was invaded, setting that part aside, it does look like the Taiwanese themselves are starting to seriously prepare for something. Recently, videos like these ones here went viral online showing Taiwanese soldiers doing drills in the large metro stations in Taipei. The drills were simulating both rapid as well as covert troop deployment under a Chinese missile strike scenario. You had other scenarios, which included evacuation drills, triage, food rationing scenarios, urban survival drills, all being played out under the assumption of live fire coming from the Chinese. These different practice runs were all a part of Taiwan's 41st annual Hong Kong exercises, which aimed to get the soldiers ready for a real invasion. However, as I mentioned earlier, this year's exercises were really different. First of all, this year's exercises were twice as long as last year's. The scenarios are significantly more complex, and things like simulating troop deployments in the actual subway under Chinese gunfire is new. My Taiwanese contacts, they told me they've never seen anything like that before, and that seeing it was almost as crazy as if in the US we saw the US Marine Corps running these kind of drills in New York, also under Chinese gunfire. In short, this year's exercises really show us that outside of the typical international saber rattling, the Taiwanese government is feeling the heat and they're seriously worried about a real possibility of a Chinese invasion. And those concerns are not coming out of nowhere. Over the past year, the Chinese Communist Party has gotten significantly more aggressive in their posturing towards Taiwan, and then more specifically, they've really amped up their military activities in the Pacific theater. For instance, in February, the Chinese Navy held live fire drills in the waters between Australia and New Zealand. Then, the next month, in March, satellite imagery discovered that the Chinese were developing what are known as bridge barges. It's a type of ship whose exclusive use would be invading a large island like Taiwan and dealing with the defenses that they would naturally have on the beaches there. Then, the next month, in April, the Chinese held their military exercises, codenamed Straight Thunder, wherein they simulated blockading the entirety of the island of Taiwan and then simulating hitting some of its key infrastructure points. Then, 2 months after that, you had the president of Taiwan declare that, quote, Taiwan is, of course, a country. And then, about a week after that, the Chinese military sent 132 aircraft to operate around Taiwan, with 99 of those aircraft crossing Taiwan's median line. And then also, last month, in June, the People's Liberation Army simultaneously deployed both of their two aircraft carriers way outside the borders of China in order to conduct drills, I should mention, that actually wound up touching Japan's exclusive economic zone. And by the way, China only has two active aircraft carriers, and they have never been deployed simultaneously before. So, taken all together, the Taiwanese see this ratcheting up of the heat, and they're acting accordingly. Besides what we already discussed earlier with those Taiwanese military drills getting more elaborate and more personal in the city level, the Taiwanese electorate is also seemingly waking up to the threat of the Chinese Communist Party's invasion. Quote, "In a historic first for any democracy at the national level, mass recall campaigns in Taiwan are seeking to overturn the opposition's legislative majority that was elected in 2024. Between 26 and 31 lawmakers from the KMT party will face a recall vote. The press has dubbed it the Great Recall. At stake is the control of the legislature. If the ruling DPP party can win 6 extra seats, they will regain a majority. The pro-recall campaigners rely heavily on painting red the KMT by associating them with the CCP's agenda. They suggest that the efforts by the KMT to paralyze the government, stymie defense spending, and throw the constitutional court into crisis are part of the CCP's plan to throw Taiwan's politics into disarray." Essentially, just for a bit of context here, currently the Taiwanese government is split. And so the executive, meaning the president, belongs to one party, the nationalist DPP, while the legislature is controlled by the opposition party, the KMT, which is being labeled, within the public sentiment at least, as being the pro-CCP party. Now, whether that's really true or not would actually require a long episode of its own because, well, Taiwanese politics, they don't really map well to our politics. Our parties don't really map well to them in terms of like conservative versus liberal. It means something different over there. And so it would require quite a bit of history to give you the full breakdown. But in short, the KMT party, despite being the direct ancestor of the Kuomintang, which is literally the group that fought against the communists in the Civil War in the 1940, ironically, that party, the KMT, is now seen by the public to be pro-CCP. And among the top reasons for that is that while the DPP party, the Nationalist Party, is very open about declaring Taiwan to be its own independent country, the KMT has the following position, quote, "The KMT maintains the official One China principle that Taiwan is a province of China and lawmakers frequently visit top CCP officials in the People's Republic of China. For instance, former President Ma Ying-jeou of the KMT attended an event in June with Song Tao, the director of the PRC's Taiwan Affairs Office, at which he stated, quote, my advocacy is that the two sides of the Taiwan Strait should pursue peaceful and democratic unification. And generally, it's believed that the Chinese Communist Party, they like it when the KMT is in power, since at least they're easier to work with. However, with the current mainstream sentiment in Taiwan being very anti-CCP, especially after the most recent aggressive military actions that were taken by China, well, it's perhaps unsurprising that over half of the KMT lawmakers are now facing recall elections. If the DPP can flip just 6 seats, they will actually be able to regain the majority. The elections, they're set to be held on July 26th as well as August 23rd. And so there you have it. That is what is currently slowly developing over in the Pacific Theater. If you'd like to know more about anything that we discussed in today's episode, I will throw several interesting links both to articles as well as to videos which dissect the current situation in Taiwan in much greater detail, both from a military perspective as well as from a political perspective. If you want to get deeper into it, I'll throw those links down into the description box below if you're the type of person that likes to dig into the weeds. And then until next time, I'm your host, Roman from The Epoch Times. Stay informed. Most importantly, stay free.